Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 52.
In this episode's bits, we'll talk about Unmatched, Clank Legacy, Acquisitions Incorporated, Team 3, and Cupcake Empire. We'll discuss the BGG thread, your best, what boring real-life activities would make interesting board game things. We'll have the hot topic. We'll give you our hot topic of our top 10 games we like to fondle, meaning that they have good bits. Please don't stop there. And we'll get up to our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits.
Bits.
Yeah,
I don't sing that song enough.
I was gonna say, because we don't have the all the bits bit on every episode, so you might as well sing it somewhere.
Yeah, just impose myself on our episode.
It's like an earworm, you know, you just burrow into the bitzer's ears and
that's right.
Right up into their brain.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So, Sean, how are you?
You know, I'm okay. I'm been a long day. I did yoga with my daughter, did hip hop dance class with my daughter. And just had numerous meltdowns with my daughter.
Yeah.
God bless my wife. I don't know how she's like been out all day. She had something she was at all day today. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God bless her. Just God bless her. I just want to play board games. God bless her.
We painted ornaments outside.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It was a fairly nice day today.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It was like a city event. At the park near us.
Mm.
Yeah, it was good times. Next weekend, there's going to be s'mores, so.
S'mores.
I'll definitely be there.
Hey, speaking of snow, I got nothing.
I have something in my question that rhymes with s'more.
Is it boar?
No.
I thought your new was your segue there.
It was, but then I wanted to go woo or whatever I did.
Yeah. So you're gonna ask me anything right now, right?
That's right, because that's the sound that we did for the bit we're gonna do.
Yeah.
All right. So Glenmore rhymes Schmore.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you, Mr. Okay. Sean.
Yeah.
Would you rather
read go to Scotland and drink all the whiskey? Yes.
No.
Oh.
Okay. Read a 50-page GMT rule book, that 1.1, 1.1.1, 1.1, or Sticker Glenmore 2.
Can I say no to both?
No, you may not.
Darn you! Ugh. Oh my gosh, I had such a nice question to ask you, and you're asking me this. This is like, oh my gosh. It's like, if you have two children and they both fall over a boat, which one are you going to save or something like that?
But at least it runs a s'more.
It does. I would just eat s'mores and then get the s'more substance all over both the rule book and the stickers and not have to do either. Boom, nailed it.
Nope. You have to pick one.
Okay, fine. I would probably sticker the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to, even though I don't want to have to and I won't have to.
Yeah, did you purchase this game? I feel like you said you did, and then you decided you didn't want to sticker it.
No. I was interested in it until I found out in our last episode about how horrible it sounds to have to sticker it.
It's a lot of stickering.
I will never be purchasing it, unfortunately, because hashtag I hate stickers.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't. Yep.
All right, you have a question for me there, Sean.
I do. I was going to ask you something that's a lot nicer than that horror that you've just put me through.
Okay.
So, thinking thinking of all your games, and you can't say Arkham, anything related to Arkham Horror for this question.
So, but that's my go-to.
I know, but I just thought of it now. That would probably be your answer, so I'm kicking that out. But I think people kind of have a certain expectation of the type of game that you enjoy. So if you're thinking about, you know, all the games you own, surprise the people at home with one game they would not expect Michelle to own.
What a great question, Sean.
Right? And you can't.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You can't answer anything. I'm just going to throw anything in the HP Lovecraft mythos.
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
It's Witness.
What's Witness?
So Witness is a four-player only game.
Okay.
And everybody gets a different book with information. And that's like, it's like telephone. So you like give each other different information. So like I might tell person A something, and then person A tells person B what I've given them and maybe what person D gave them. But, and meanwhile, I'm getting information from person C, and yeah. And then we try to solve a mystery at the end. So there's like a little bit of story. So then you're asked, like, I think it's like three questions, and you have to, everybody writes it down, and then cooperatively you get a score based on how well everybody did.
Have we played that game? Was that the game? Is that the game with that like Tintin art? Like Tintin-ish art?
I think so, French, yeah.
French style art on the cover?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Black. It's like all black, and then it's got, I think, a guy in like a yellow jacket, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's a great game. It's just, yeah, like for the right situation and for the right people, but I think it's pretty neat.
Fair.
And it's hilarious, just like, yeah, where people falter.
I imagine that, yeah. Good answer. Decent.
Thank you. Thank you.
Step out of your comfort zone.
Oh, thank you so much, Sean. I really appreciate your support.
Yeah.
That really was good, though.
I've been thinking, I was like, oh, this is a good question. And then I was like, well, she's obviously going to pick like Eldritch Horror or Arkham Horror or Arkham Horror the card game. So it's like, okay, I have to give you
some caveats.
Yeah, some caveats. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, all you did good, kid.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You did good. It's good to someone call me kid because I'm so old.
Speaking of not doing good, let's hear your sound effect for the next bit.
Do 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 do
do do do do do do
do boot and boot and boot and
yeah. Yep. That's the thing.
That lovely sound effect is for our guess the game bit. And Michelle, what's our guess the game bit?
We guess the game.
We do.
We each pick a game from the wonderful BGG and give each other clues and try to guess. You can play along. And
yes, you can do way better than us.
Yeah, as per use.
Yeah, because we suck.
All right, I'm going to give you clues first.
All right, bring on, sister.
All right. Published in 2014. Wow, that long ago already.
So old.
Rating of 7.3 with 3,100 ratings.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa. Plays two players only in 45 minutes with a weight of 2.65.
2004 Lost Cities?
No, I think that's way older than that.
You said 2.65 too, right?
2.65, yeah.
Lost Cities is like one. Okay, yes, go.
Let's see. The categories are civilization, economic, and exploration.
It would be Seven Wonders Duel. That would be way later. Civilization, economic?
Exploration.
Exploration. Hey, I still do not know.
Okay. Do you want some mechanisms?
Would I know this game?
You should, yeah. I think I went through to find a game. I went through your collection, actually.
Which is all... Did you do this recently? Did you see how awesome? It's all, like, up to date and clean and everything.
No, I didn't notice.
Damn you.
But congratulations. You're just on the ball this week.
I know. I have to get ready for the BGG Secret Santa, so I had to do
I see.
The one time a year I actually go over my BGG collection. Okay, let's get back on. Is it Lahav Inland Port?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. The mechanisms, but you're thinking like right box size for the game, for the two-player game. Okay. Some mechanisms. We've got action point, hand management, pick up and deliver. I'm going to bold that one. Pick up and deliver.
It's not Akrotiri.
It is Akrotiri. Yeah. Well done.
Cool. I still have that game. Do not play that game. Staring right at me. All right.
That game's got good bits.
It does have good bits. I that made my short. Oh, no. Can't say anything.
Okay. I did consider it as well, actually. Yeah, it's got good bits, especially for like a two-player small game.
And an older game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you ready for yours?
I am.
All right. Yours came out in the year 2016.
Okay.
It plays 1 to 5 players. Well, I knew it played one player. It plays in 60 to 120 minutes. In case you're wondering, its age recommendation is 13 and up.
Thank you. That clarifies so much.
I mean, we haven't done that before. Its weight is 3.03. It's got 4,100 ratings on BGG. People enjoy talking about it. And it's a strategery game.
Is it Terraforming Mars?
It is not. I believe this came out the year before Terraforming Mars. All right. You want some categories?
Sure.
Civilization, dice, economic, environmental.
What?
And industry manufacturing.
Well, as soon as you say industry, I'm like, oh, it's brass, but I know it's not brass.
As you would say, I would bold the dice part.
Yeah.
Ish.
Okay, 1 to 5. 5 is an interesting number, too. I feel like that should be something obvious to me, but as per usual, nothing's coming. Can you read the categories again?
Yes. Civilization, dice, economic, environmental, industry/manufacturing.
No, this isn't the new Sid Meier's Civ, right?
It is not. No, and I feel like the civilization part is like, don't get too hung up on that.
Okay.
I'll give you the mechanism. I don't know if it'll help, though. Dice rolling and worker placement. It's very, very much is a worker placement game.
That's rather vague. A worker placement game with dice that plays 1 to 5 players in 1 to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. In 2016. Do you know if I like this game?
I believe you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Euro with dice, so really.
Really nice bits.
I got nothing.
All right, I will give you the... I don't know if designers and artists will help. Designers might. Designed by Tom Jolly and Luke Laurie.
I don't recognize those names at all.
Was it
Santa Maria?
No.
Yes, it is. Let's just pretend it's that.
No. It is set in the same universe as a previous game.
Set in the same universe as a previous game.
Yeah. There's nothing that really gives it away.
Is it My Village?
No. It's not giving you everything on here.
I mean, it just kind of sounds like a lot of Euros, you know what I mean? Except for the 1 to 5.
The bits set it apart.
Yeah, the bits are really good. Dice with
and
really
good
bits.
You enjoy it a lot. I think you enjoy it a lot. I think we played it together. Published by Minion Games. Does that help?
I probably should. Manhattan Project Energy Empire.
Yes.
Oh, that's such a good game. I need to play that again.
Yes. That is it. That's one of my favorite Euros.
That was 2016 already.
2016,
wow.
Yeah.
There's an expansion coming out for that, hey?
There is. Yeah, it was Kickstarted last year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was later too, actually.
Yeah,
yeah, the years, they just blur, hey?
Another game that's on my mind for a specific reason that we'll find out later.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that one was on my... You've already talked about what our hot topic is, hey? It's not a mystery. But if you want to pretend it is, we totally
yeah,
can.
Yeah, let's just pretend that we're not talking about our top 10 favorite bit games with bits or whatever later that we like to fondle and touch. Let's forget it.
Okay.
Darn it.
Sounds good.
The worst thing is, it's not like we're recording this out of sequence either. We already recorded that. It would be different if that was a legit excuse I could use.
Right? Yeah.
I'm
just impressed that I was aware of that. You know,
yes.
feeling a little tired.
Hey, speaking of feeling a little... No.
No. Speaking of... No.
Energy?
Pew!
Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, that works.
Sure.
Pew,
okay.
Pew, pew.
Hey, what's, we have this pew pew bit. I'm going to talk like this the whole show.
Please don't. As Chloe's, my daughter, has started telling me that I need to use my normal voice when we play with toys. So I'm like, she's like, use your normal voice, mommy. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. This pew pew is where we talk about games we've recently played and give you some of our thoughts. Yeah. And we also give them a rating on a very, very official scale.
If it's a one, it's like that would be a hard no.
Nah.
If it's two, it's like a meh.
Meh.
If it's a three, you say this is the best.
I mean, it's fine. That was a little bit snooty.
It was. Well, that's why
I kind of had that like teenager vibe, the 16-year-old teenager in there.
If there's nothing you aren't, it's not snooty. No, I can't use it up.
No,
okay.
Missed it.
Anyway, number four is tis a gooder.
Hashtag gooder.
Number five?
It's got the spark.
It's the spark.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. So who's going first? Speaking of tingling,
I can start.
All right. Well, I was trying
or
to
did
get
you?
My, well, I was trying to give myself a segue there, but whatever. You start. Just go ahead.
Speaking of making noise, my first pew pew is Clank Legacy Acquisitions Incorporated. It's just a lot. That whole thing. Yeah. This was published in 2019. I think it's brand spanking new at this point.
Okay.
Current rating of 8.8. with 178 ratings, plays 2 to 4 in 90 to 120 minutes, has a weight of 2. It is designed by Andy Clatice and Paul Denon. Art by Clay Brooks, Anika Burrell, Derek Herring, Raul Ramos, Nate Storm, and Elaine Viesca, and published by here in North America, Renegade Game Studios. And this is very much a Clank game, but with Legacy.
Yeah.
So if you've played Clank or Clank in Space in the past, you would pretty much know how to play this game right off the bat. It's a deck builder where you're going through a dungeon and you're trying to get something that is valuable and get out before you die. And you die by making noise.
Awesome.
Hey man, I just state the facts.
Yeah,
so there's you make noise through different card effects called clank, and every clank is a cube, and every once in a while the dragon attacks, meaning all the cubes, all the sound that everybody make goes into the bag, and a certain amount of cubes get pulled out, and those are basically your health points. So they're damage, I guess. You can only take so much damage and then you're dead. And you need to make it so far out, like either there's kind of underworld and an overworld. That's not what they're called. I can't remember what they actually, I think they call them the danger zones in Clank, in the Legacy.
Now.
Yeah. So basically the bottom half of the board, if you die there, you're like, you just don't even get a score points. If you make it out, you get a 20 point bonus. But if you make it above that bottom half, you can die. They drag your body back and you get a score points, but you miss out on that, extra
the villagers
20.
Carry you to safety.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how much has been shared about this from the publisher, so I'm going to keep it pretty light on the details, but this is definitely a traditional legacy game. It feels very much like a legacy game. You've got stickers and you've got a map and you've got cards that you tear up, all of that wonderful stuff. It's got a really, really, really strong narrative. So, or I shouldn't say strong narrative. It's got a lot of narrative. I think it's pretty good. But I don't play RPGs, and like flavor text is usually enough for me. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But I do find it has a lot of narrative and it's nice that way. Which also helps with your character building. So everybody has a different character and, you know, slowly you create your own decks and you have decisions that are based on your character, which is fun. And, you know, I think part of the experience. It definitely stays true to its predecessors. Like I said, like if you know how to play Clank, you could probably play the first game without much rule reading, which is nice. So that's to say, if you like Clank, you'll like Clank Legacy, but if you didn't like Clank, you definitely won't like Clank Legacy. Like there's there's not enough to set it apart to say, oh well, you know, it adds this so you might like it. Like it's still it's very much still Clank.
Maybe if you're like a super huge fan of Acquisitions Incorporated or something, maybe sure. You could suck it up for it. But yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, true. Still like tons of luck, you know. It's just a light, fun experience. You know, push your luck. You know, those moments of like, oh, I'm gonna die. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And yeah, it's good fun if you know, you don't take it too seriously and you know you like legacy games and narrative and Clank itself. It still has the whole bureaucratic nonsense of a legacy game. I mean, it's funny because part of the reason I like legacy experiences is like, oh, opening up boxes and stickers and getting new bits and all that. But it is also very time consuming, you know, or it can be anyways, depending on, you know, what's happening in the game and whatnot. So again, if you, you know, like it's a typical legacy. So if that's not your thing, this isn't going to change anything, but it definitely has that upkeep between games and before games and whatnot. But yeah, I've really been having quite a bit of fun. The fellow who purchased this game, painted our minis. So that
so
was
jelly.
Oh, it was so it's, yeah, I don't play with a lot of minis and I certainly don't play with a lot of painted minis and I am really enjoying having painted minis. Uh-huh. It does make a difference and they're so pretty. So yeah, I'm having a ball. I'm going to rate it a 4. Tis a gooder. It's a little bit too lucky for me to have the spark, but it's a high 4. I'm having a blast. And I think that, yeah, again, if you like Clank, this is a no-brainer. Pick it up, have some fun. And you said you've played 2 games, right?
2 games, yeah. And this, I was telling Michelle before that this is, you know, Clank for me is a spark, is a 5. It's a top 5 game for me. So I'm not the most biased person, I guess. This won't be an unbiased review is what I'm looking for, is that this was going to be a 5 no matter what, unless they completely changed every mechanic, which they didn't. So unless something horrible happens with the narrative, it's just like, oh, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the worst possible thing that I could think of. If there's Nazis and KKK and all sorts of other horrible things in there, then maybe I'll hate it. But it's going to be really hard for it not to be a 5 for me once I finish. Although, I have a tale of woe that about this that we started playing this I guess when this comes out a few nights ago on Friday night last week, and halfway through our first game, you know, you get your instruction to, oh, go into the sticker book and pull out so-and-so sticker on so-and-so page. I was the one handling the sticker, so I look through it. Nope, it's not there. I hand it to the person sitting to my right. He looks through it, No, hand it to the person to his right. No, hand it to the next person. She looks at it. No, sticker's not there. Then we look upon closer inspection. We notice that there are duplicates of a certain page there. So that kind of sucked. What was, I guess, helpful is that we did like a lot of, the four of us did a lot of quick Googling to see if we could find anything. There's an FAQ that talks to a rule related to another sticker that's kind of connected to this one, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of basically tells you what this sticker is and what it does, which was helpful. And we kind of figured that's what it was before anyway. So we were able to get through, and then we took a vote at the end and being like, should we play this one more time and see? And we did play our second game, and luckily, it didn't call for this for this particular page, which was nice. So as soon as that was finished, I fired off an email, a message to customer service at Renegade, be like, hey, can you send this? And we had someone also send us a picture of that particular sticker sheet. So if we don't get anything from Renegade, I asked them, you know, either to, well, A, to mail it out to me, but also B, if they could send like a high-res actual PDF of the sticker sheet. So worst comes to worst, we could just print it off on a sticker paper, and then we can just do it. We'll just have to cut it. So worst comes to worst, we'll at least have that so we know what to do, and we could probably edit it to print it. But it was a bit annoying, and we're talking later that night with Jeremy Howard, friend of the show from Man vs. Meeple, he mentioned that it seems like he's heard there's a fair bit of this going on because they have to rush out the shipment or something. So, and then upon further Googling, we notice that, yeah, it's not just this particular sticker sheet. There seems to be other sticker sheets that have gone missing as well, and other duplicates. So my recommendation to you, Bitsers, if you haven't started the game is, you know, you probably don't know what a ton of this stuff means anyway, so you might want to at least look at the letters on your sticker sheet to make sure you have all the letters that should be there and you have no duplicates, you know, just to make sure so you don't get potentially in a disastrous scenario like we did.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than like getting a new game and setting it up and getting, you know, like actually, you know, being ready to play it. And then, oh, sorry, not going to happen. I actually sold my Dinosaur Island expansion. But I had it all merged together. The guy I sold it to, I feel so bad. We've had to meet up like 3 times because there was just like so many things. Yeah, I was like, why do I have tool benches? He's like, why do I have extra dino refiner? Like, it's just like, oh my God. Anyway.
And you had mentioned before when we were talking too that, you know, it's like, for a regular game, it might be a meeple or it might be a piece or a token or whatever. It's not the end of the world because you can proxy it somehow. You can figure it out. But for a legacy game, that's like an integral part of the experience. Yeah. You need to do that because that thing might affect another thing that's going to happen and another thing. And it's like, okay, so yeah. But, you know, hopefully we're no worse for wear and we'll have everything straightened out by next time we play it. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And the good news is publishers are usually pretty good at getting stuff out
for sure.
Cool. All right. Well, oh, and do you have a rating? Oh yeah, you said it was gonna be a 5.
Oh gosh, yeah it was gonna be
I forgot how predictable you are.
I'm sure it'll be such a big spark I will be puking up sparks for the rest of the year.
Well, that sounds fun. Yeah, I wonder if we could make that a sound effect.
I'm sure we can. Hey, how about we do that when we talked about doing a spoiler cast about this, so when we finish and do a spoiler cast, we will make sound effects of me puking up sparks.
You will do that. Yeah, and I will judge you on the other side.
That's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Michelle, speaking of sparks, so my first pew-pew is Unmatched, Battle of Legends, Volume 1, and I'll talk about some of the expansions as well. This is, I believe, designed by Rob Davio and the people at Restoration Games, art by Oliver Barrett. So it's like the Mondo art. If anyone's familiar with Mondo, they do like fancy movie posters and like records and stuff like that with this really amazing art style that I absolutely adore. So I think it's like their artists who did this game, which is amazing. So this game came out in 2019. It came out at Gen Con, which I didn't get to play it when I was at Gen Con, but it It is just came out kind of in wider distribution recently, the last couple of month or two. It's a re-implementation of Star Wars Epic Duels, which is a game I have never played. And what this game is, this is a kind of, I like to think of this really as almost like Dice Throne, but without the dice. So Throne. It's so funny. But it's like, it kind of like, it's that card, that card part of Dice Throne, which I absolutely love. And then you have a bit of a map where you're moving your dudes around, and you have to basically, what you're trying is, you're trying to kill the other characters using your hand, using the cards you have in your hand, which will make your characters do things. And the neat thing about the characters are, like the base box has Sinbad in it, Alice from Alice in Wonderland, Medusa, and I think like King Arthur. And then like the expansion has like Bigfoot and Robin Hood, and I have the Bruce Lee expansion, which I got at Gen Con without owning the game, because Bruce Lee. So what you're doing is, and there's these awesome miniatures, pre-washed miniatures. You move them around these small boards. There's not a ton of room there. And you're attacking them using your cards, basically, is what you're doing. Some characters have ranged attacks. Some characters have melee attacks. If you're a melee attack, you have to be adjacent to the character. If you have a ranged attack, you just have to be in the same color zone. There are various color zones. And then some characters, not all of them, might have a sidekick, which are usually, they're not minis, they're designated by little discs that you move around. And that's basically the game. And you play until you knock out the other people. You can either play two or four players. I guess you can play three players. But it's either a team game or kind of a head-to-head type thing. And I adore this game. It's got like that card combat, which I like, and then it uses the map in a nice way that you have to plan ahead, and you have to use strategy to figure out, hey, my guy's going to be safe here. I'm going to use my sidekick as a meat shield, so to speak, right? And it's like you really have to use that map a lot. The components and the art are absolutely freaking stunning. The component, like I should put this in my thing now, thinking about it. I love the components in it, and they are planning like tons. And I think there's a Buffy expansion coming out. There's a few Jurassic Park expansions coming out. There's I think one with Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and a couple other like of those type of characters that they recently announced. And it's so simple that you can like have plopped it down, like taught it to a whole bunch of different people. Like it's so easy to teach. And this game is the spark for me. Like this is probably one of my top three games of the year so far. I absolutely adore it. I don't know like what else to say about it. Like I want to paint these minis really, really, really badly. I love that all the characters too are completely different. Like it's super asymmetrical. Every character plays differently. The Bruce Lee one is super fun because you don't get a sidekick. But he's fast, and he's all about giving you extra actions because you have limited actions in a turn. There's other ones like Medusa's like swarming you with her little minions type thing. King Arthur has Merlin. There's just they all do something different. Alice from Alice in Wonderland, her whole thing is you change sizes. So if you're bigger, your attack is stronger. If you're smaller, your defense is better. So they're all super unique, which is really cool, and I can't wait for the rest of them, and I am super excited. Can you tell how excited I am for this game, Michelle?
Can you tell how excited I am for this game?
Probably not at all. I absolutely, this game is a 5. If we had a scale higher than the 5, it would probably be that too.
Yeah, hey, well, that's good.
Yeah, and it's like the type of thing where it's like, I get finished playing a game, and we've talked about that. You've talked about this on the show before too. Like, you know, you think about it, right? Like you think about, what if I would have done that? What would have happened if I would have done that? This is like, oh, but I've lost that game. But what would have happened if I would have taken a different route, or I would have saved that card for last? Like every single time I've played this game, which has probably been about 6 or 7 times now, I think like that. I'm like, what if I would have done something different? So to me, that's the sign of a really good game. And I'm always on pins and needles to play this game more and to explore the characters more, and can't wait for all the expansions coming out. I'm like super duper excited. And it's like, I think it's like one of those games that's super ripe for expansions because, either go buy them or you get all these probably free, not free, but like, you know, what's that thing? license-free characters that are out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there will be a H.P. Lovecraft one with Cthulhu at some point, because I think anyone can do stuff like that, you know. But it's nice that they're actually coming out with IP, too. Like, there's a few Jurassic Park expansions they have coming out, like I said, and I think there's a Buffy one I heard coming out at some point, so they're obviously going after those ones, too. So, yeah, super, super excited for this game. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
Yay, that's fun.
Yeah.
I checked out this artist, and it appears that only this game has his name on it, you know, unless there's, like, something wrong with BGG or whatever.
Well, like I said, I think my guess would be he would be, like, a Mondo artist, so, like, for that company.
Okay.
But Mondo doesn't, that's my guess. This is the first time Mondo has their name on games.
Okay.
They make movie posters, they make, like, things on CDs. Like, if you look up Mondo on the internet, you'll see these amazing artworks. I've always wanted to own some of them, but they put stuff for sale, and then it's like you have a limited time to buy it, and then they're out of circulation. They're like Disney with their vault type thing. So it's hard, but they make gorgeous art. So my guess is that this dude works for them.
Yeah, I have a thing for card backs, and wow, this game has, like, incredible card backs. That black deck and the blue deck. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want this guy to do art for a Euro.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Like, I'm pretty blown away, actually, by it. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy you found a game you love so much.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. And I did, yeah, I did just Google his name. He seems like he does Mondo art. Oliver Barrett. He seems like he does.
Okay.
He works for them or does art for them.
I'll have to look into that. Cool.
Yes.
All right, another five from Sean.
Okay. That's my first five that I'm talking about.
Are you sure?
Yeah, games that I have talked about. This is my first five. Like Black Angel, I gave a five, but you were the one who talked about it. And then Clank, obviously, I would give a five. Come on. But this is the first game that I've actually talked about that I've given a five. So
I have a very bad memory, so I'm going to trust you on this.
Well, let us know if we're wrong, Pitzers, because my name is as bad as hers.
And there's no way we're going to go back and listen to episodes. So.
Nope.
All right, my next pew-pew is Cupcake Empire. Pew-pew! This came out in 2018, but just hit the North American market, I think. Has a current rating of 7.3 with 327 ratings. Plays 2 to 4 in 45 to 60 minutes with a weight of 2.82. It's designed by Al Leduc and Yves Torigny. Art by Amanda Duarte and David Prieto, and published by Ludanova. This is a cupcake game. So now you know why I bought it. No, it's got cupcake bits, and it has really pretty dice, and it's colorful, and it's a Euro. So I didn't really have much of a choice, if you think about it. So this game is basically you're making cupcakes, and cupcakes are made of bases of different colors, and tops, icing of various colors as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving those cupcakes to customers. And a customer has a color of pants that will match the base of a cupcake.
Wait,
and
did
a shirt
you say
that
pants?
Pants, yeah.
Pants, okay.
Pants.
Trousers, okay.
Yes, and then their shirt is the color of icing. So, for example, if there's a meeple that has dark brown pants and a red top, he wants a chocolate base with strawberry icing. You feeling me?
I'm feeling you.
Okay.
That's actually awesome.
So, yeah, so the main board has just a bunch of meeples that are customers that are wanting different things. And the way that the game works is you have on your player board, you have five different... Are you going to be okay, Sean?
That is so amazing. Okay, cool.
Oh, dear. It's the simple things in life, really.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I think you're just still on a bit of a high from Unmatched.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so each player board has five columns, and each column is a different action. So one column is grab a cake base or cupcake base. The other one is grab icing. Another one is put a building out on the board, which are little cupcake buildings, and that will allow you to sell to more customers. And the next one is sell to a customer. And the next one is kind of like get some extra dice, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And what you do on your turn, you simply trigger a column and then you re-roll your dice and put them out. Like, so the column on the left is a 1 and then a 2 and then a 3. So when you roll your dice, any 3s go in the 3 column, for example. And then you have two tracks that you're keeping track of. So one of the tracks, I think it's like production and nope, don't know what they're called. But basically one goes up every time you sell and another goes up when you make cupcakes. And it's Kanitsia scoring in the sense that at the end of each of your turns, you will only get points based on your lowest. So you can't just go hard in one area. You have to stay fairly balanced. And what's interesting is this is totally a race game. So first to 70, and then that triggers the end of the game, which always feels really abrupt to me. But there's something about race games that I kind of like, because you have to stay really focused. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get too, like, yeah, sidetracked with things. Yeah. And then there's ways to, like, manipulate the dice, and there's ways to make different actions more powerful. There are objectives. There's 4 every game, and they're worth points, and everyone can do them. But again, just, you know, if you manage to get those, obviously they boost you a little bit forward. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. That's the gist of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like I said, I picked it up mostly because, I thought it was a game that I probably wouldn't see, anywhere else, you know, like, I don't think it's a game a lot of people would pick up, and it was, it had little cupcakes, and so it was like, you know, unique bits, yeah. Unique theme, colorful dice, and, Euro-y. So, and it had decent reviews. So yeah. So
not beige.
It's not beige at all.
It's like the exact opposite of big.
It is, yeah, which is kind of fun. I definitely, speaking of which, you know, it looks very colorful, looks very fun, and I think there's more depth than what initially you would think, because typically games like that are super light and super quick. Not to say that this is a medium weight Euro or anything by any means. I would put it, well, what did BGG rate it? A 2.82? Yeah, there you go. But yeah, definitely not like a, oh, super cute, 30 minutes, plays with like your 6-year-old niece. That's not this this game.
Not that.
In terms of, so there is more depth. And then for its length and weight, it feels a little bit heavy on the rules. Like there's a few, the way the actions trigger, there's like, each action gets more powerful the more dice you have in a row. But if you have dice that match the color of the row, or sorry, the column, then, you know, you get to move it forward, but it's kind of weird. So then you got to try to get over that explanation. And then there's like a few, kind of the mitigating, factors in the game. Like you can spend points, or you get these things called bright ideas that you can use, you know, like when you start to kind of get into some of that, it gets a little bit long for what it is, but it's not crazy, but again, because it looks so bright and colorful, sometimes I think maybe like when somebody sits down at a beige table, they're like, okay, I'm ready, you know, but when you hand them cupcakes, you know, they have, I think that comes with certain expectations.
That's fair. Yep.
Yeah. I played it at 2 and 4, and I feel like it scales quite well. there's, so the cupcake pieces that you build cupcakes out of, there's only so many available. And that scales with players. And then there's also less spaces available on the board. There's just as many customers. But yeah, less spaces to put your retail stores and stuff in. So I think it scales quite well and works at all player counts. Okay. Like I said, the bits are amazing. I love mini cupcakes and the colors. And the dice actually have like a matte finish feel to them. So that's quite pleasant. And they're on the larger side. I don't know if it's the theme that brings this out or if it really is the gameplay, but I think the gameplay does feel somewhat unique, like this whole concept of just activating a column and the way it triggers and stuff like that. Like it feels like it sets itself apart enough. And I always dig, lighter Euros that still have enough interesting decisions, but not like 2 hours. You know what I mean? It's nice to have those to close out the night. And that definitely fills that, this game definitely fills that niche. There's a decent amount of mitigating factors, it's still dice, right? So there's, only so much you can do, but that's kind of cool. I think you'll like it if you like Euros, you like dice, and you want something a little lighter and quicker. And also you have to be okay with race games, because race games have that like super abrupt ending.
Yeah.
You know, I think like a lot of people, kind of with Jamie's Stegmaier's game, like the Stonemaier games, they're always like, oh, it's so abrupt, is because it has that like race feeling, it's like, okay, that's it. So you have to be okay with that, but I think it's a good game, actually. I gave it a 3.
Okay.
I was kind of leaning towards a 4, but I'm like, well, no, most games are 3 to me. So 3 is not a bad score to me. It's like, it's another game. It's a good game. It can stand on its own. But I would say it's like a pretty high 3.
Cool.
Yeah. A good game and a neat one. Anyways, that's Cupcake Empire.
Cool. I've had my eye on this one for a while. I'd like to try
it really?
At some point. Yeah. Okay, well, obviously cool. Cupcakes. It's a Euro that's not beige, so
yeah.
I'm usually interested in those.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay, so my next pew-pew-pew here is Team 3 Pink. This game comes in pink and green varieties.
Man, so many of the games you talk about, I'm just like, what is this?
Someone has to bring the unique. Since, Miss Cupcake Empire.
Yeah, hey, man.
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes anyway, are unique.
This is a game from Brain Games. It came out in 2019. It's got 7.4 on BGG. Not a ton of people talking about 152 ratings. Designed by Alex Cutler and Matt Fantastic. Art by Renis Patterson. The art is just on the box cover, I guess. Okay, so what this game is, a game I'm going to use very loosely in the sense that this is a game. This is a team building activity, but if you want to call it a game, it's definitely a party game. What you are doing in this game, I'll give you the theme, you are monkeys who are trying to build something. You work for a construction company. And there are 3 different roles in this game. One person will be the monkey who can't speak. That will be the person gesturing. One person will be the monkey who can't see. That will be the person who's building what you have to build, which I'll get to in a second. And the other person is kind of the person in the middle who's interpreting the gestures from the monkey who can't speak. What all this means is that in the box of this game are a bunch of, I guess, polyomino type pieces. So, those Tetris-y type pieces. There's also like a W-ish one in there as well. A deck of cards that give you various structures. And what you are doing is one person will have a blueprint card, so that has the structure, and you are trying to get your builder, the person who can't see, to build it. However, you can't speak. So you are giving gestures to the person in the middle, the monkey in the middle, who is interpreting your gestures and speaking to the person with their eyes closed who is building. So you might make like a cross with your fingers, right? And then the person who's interpreting it be like, oh, it's the cross one. And then we'll direct the builder with their hands to get that. And you're building these structures. And they go in three different levels. This is a cooperative game, obviously. They go in three different levels. They get harder as you go up. There's also a mini expansion that is more of a perspective thing, which I would never even try that because my mind doesn't work like that. But I played with a couple of people who like totally were able to do it. But then you're building the structure from different perspectives. That just blows my mind. So what you are doing is you are just doing this and you're trying to get a certain amount of cards successful. If you're not getting successful, then whatever. It's the type of game like, you know, medium or whatever that you don't need to keep score. I mean, you can, but whatever. You're just trying to be as successful as you can. There's a pink version and a green version. I don't think there's a huge difference from them, except that they have different mini expansions. But if you wanted to play six people at the same time, you can put them all together because by itself it plays three. That being said, you could play as many as you want. There's just a bigger wait time while people have to wait for their turn to do one of the characters. The way I played it is that I play it with as many as five and that three people will have a turn and then we'll just go clockwise and pass the rolls around. When I tweeted about this game, someone from Rain Games showed a picture of a... some sort of team building event that people used it. And what they did is they projected stuff on the monitor and had like 80 people doing it or something, which was totally cool. So you can check our Twitter for that. So you can do a lot of stuff with this. And this game has just been so much fun. It's like the type of game where you just laugh a lot. But you also, we had a situation here where I had a coworker came over with her husband and they were getting pretty animated with each other. And I was like, I'm not responsible for any divorce proceedings that might happen. But it has been like one of, you know, like just, yeah, tons of laughs, like right up there with medium in terms of for the amount of play, just laughs and everyone hysterical playing this game. So, yeah, I'm going to say this is... I want to give this a five, Michelle. I want to say it's the spark, but I know there's only a certain group of people that can play with this. They can play this type of game, who would be willing to play this type of game. And for that reason, I can't give it, you know, the top thing, but I'm definitely going to say it's a gooder. It is a gooder. And it's definitely like the type of thing, you know, it's a relatively small box. It's just those pieces. You don't even need the box. You could travel with it, which I'm always a big fan of. You could take it with you and, you know, you just have fun and you could play it. Like I said, you don't have to keep points even, you know, you just play for X amount of time and that's it. You know, this is like a game that screams like a great convention game to me, like a gate, you know what I mean? Like that type of game as well. So, yeah, that's Team 3, green and or pink. From Brain Games.
Cute.
Yeah.
I like the color choices. They're the polyomino pieces look very nice and chunky.
Yeah, they are.
And they're like the neon. Yeah, yeah. They're neon colors. So there's yellow and pink and green.
Ones.
Yeah, but that goes so well too. That it works. I love it. All right. We did it.
Yes.
We pew-pewed.
You and now we're going to talk about fondling
bits. This is our hot topic. This is top 10 games we like to fondle, meaning they have a good bits.
And we're going down the BuzzFeed Dice Tower. We're staying true to our Dice Tower Network roots, Michelle, by going for a top 10. We are a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and thus. We are doing a top 10, not related specifically to a con, because we've done those before.
That's right.
We are going for those big BuzzFeed dollars.
Look at them rolling in. Yeah. All right. So, did you have any the parameters?
My one kind of parameter was I tried to stay away from like deluxe or exclusive things. Because initially when I made this list, I will be honest, it was very CMON heavy. But some of those things in there were specifically related to like the Kickstarter exclusive stuff, deluxe, whatever. So like I went over and redid it because I was having so much trouble like narrowing this down. Yeah. And I guess the other thing was I wanted it stuff that I have played because I didn't want to play something like I have a brief honorable mention thing, and I have one specific game there which has amazing bits. I've only played it once, and who knows, like if I own this game and play a couple of times, maybe the bits, turns out, while they look great, they're pieces of junk, you know, type thing. So I tried to kind of keep it where I know either I've played multiple times, I'm aware, or they have a good reputation type thing that I'm aware of. So that's it for me. How about you?
Very similar, actually. Ooh. Yeah. So no deluxified, crazy, like Small World Deluxe I initially thought of, or like Takinoko Deluxe, like none of those. But I would consider a deluxified TMG just because they're, to me, they're on different scales.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
And those are readily accessible too. I didn't even think
true.
About those. That's right. Yeah.
True.
Fair. That's fair.
I did pick games that I've played or owned, because there's probably lots of games that if I like looked at pictures, I'd think that they're amazing bits. But yeah, I tried to limit it to games that I play or own. And then the last thing I added that you didn't mention was no kids games, because I actually really like the bits in kids games. Yeah. Like I thought of my first Orchard.
Yeah.
With these. Yeah, they're always like really big and chunky wooden bits. My first Orchard has like apples and pears, and they're just really big. Nice. And so I was like, well, I'm gonna keep those out because there's a lot of them, and I don't want my list to just be a kids' game.
Fair. Yep. All right. So start with number 10.
No, let's start with number 3.
Okay, number 3.
Shut
up. 10. So, okay.
You did these in order? Like 10 is number 1 is your best?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Did you?
Too. Okay. Of course.
All right. Yeah. Well, so I will start with 10 just because I'm already cheating.
Okay.
I have two games here.
My goodness.
I know. I went with my number 10 is, and I had there's also an asterisk to this. Oh. Potion Explosion / Gizmo.
Okay.
And specifically for the marbles. Potion Explosion, I really like the things you put your things in, you put your marbles in. But I'm a very tactile person. You know, I always need to be fidgeting with something tactile, as I'm sure people who play with me are aware. Even at work, anywhere I go in my car, I have multiple fidgets. I have marbles in my car. I have dice. I have all sorts of things, especially to give me tactile feedback. And that's why these are on here. I have an asterisk because, honestly, I since sold Potion Explosion, actually, but I had the original one, so it had the really kind of craptastic dispenser, which I did not like. And then Gizmo, I love Gizmos, I like the game, it's a great game, I enjoy it, but even that, the dispenser, the thingamabob, I'm not terribly thrilled about as well, but they're specifically on my list for the marbles. That's kind of the reason they're here.
Good pick. Good pick. My number 10 is Azul. Love those pieces.
Yeah.
They feel so nice. They look so nice. They're so colorful. And they make great noise when they're moved around in the bag. And yeah, I really like them. The second, the stained glasses of Sintra are nice, but to me, they're not quite as good.
There's going to be so many games on this list where I'm like, I didn't even think about that, and it should be on.
There's so many good ones now, I think, too. Like, when we first talked about doing this list, I was thinking, oh, man, like, that's going to be tough, but it was not tough at all.
No, I think for me, it's more tough. It was tough to narrow it down.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot like my number 9, which is Splendor, I went specifically for, you know, it was kind of, I know there have been games that had like nice, chunky, sturdy poker chips, but this was the first real big gateway game that lots of people have had access to that had this kind of bit in it, right? Like they could have obviously gone with just chits or whatever, but those poker chips are so amazing. And that again, me as a tactile person, that brings this up a notch, and I think it's kind of doom that poor designer, because he had to do the same thing in his follow-up, Mark Andre, and I feel like he'll always have to do that from now on. But yeah, that's like, those poker chips, man, are so good. And the insert is pretty good too, and that it has space for all of them, but those poker chips are amazing.
Yeah, I thought about putting brass on here for their the Roxley poker chips, which are insane. And then I laughed and I said, Sean's going to put Splendor.
Yeah, and the reason I went with Splendor above brass is just because Splendor did it first.
Yep, that's a good call. All right, my number 9 is Everdell. And mostly for the resource bits, like I know the tree is a big draw, and I do think it's pretty. I like how the cards fit in the trunk, but that's about it. But yeah, they have those berries. Those berries are the best. They're squishy.
Yeah.
And they have nice detail, and they're just very different than anything I'd seen before. So I'm just super impressed with them. And, you know, the gems are nice too. And the all the different animal meeples are wonderful. They're very cute. You know, the game's got great presence from an art and bits perspective, but it was really the berries that got it on this list for me.
I'm sure that would be on my list if I play. I still haven't played Everdell.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you would really like it.
I'm sure I would. Yeah. Mm. I just haven't had the chance. Yeah. I'm sure that would be on my list because I see it. Yeah. Anytime I've seen it, I'm like, oh my gosh. All right. My number 8, noticing a trend on my list, actually, now that I'm looking at it, is that, like, there's one specific aspect of all these games that there's a reason they're on the list. My number 8 is Zulkin, and it's on there very specifically because of the gears.
Yeah.
I think that's something you still don't see, really.
No, you don't.
Those plastic gears that turn and they cause the wheels to go, I think are so cool to be part of a main board. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I bought my copy used. There are like crystal skulls. Are those extra bits or are those part of the base thing?
No, I'm pretty sure those, at least now, they are part of the...
They are? Okay, yeah. So
I'm
like
pretty
that's
sure,
a really,
yeah.
That's a really awesome bit as well, like to have that included as well. Like I really like those crystal skulls, but it's definitely in there because of the gears.
Yeah, I almost put this one too. And considering, so I'm just checking the date it was released. Do you have a guess?
2015?
2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Jeez. Quite impressive for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and no one's really done it before because it's probably not worth it to do for what it costs. So
there you go. All right, my number 8 is Wingspan.
Yeah.
I thought this would have been higher up on the list, but when I really thought about, like, to me, this was more about the bits, this list, than it was about like the whole overall presentation of the game. So that's why it's not higher up, but Wingspan, those eggs are the best. They're just great. I love them. I love the colors. I do have the 3D printed birdhouses, but I know I can't count that. I like the dice, like they're nice and big and chunky, and they're light, which it's like dice either have to be really like light or really heavy. There's no in between. And there's the birdhouse. Yeah. And the texture of the rule book.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, so good.
I literally played this game the night before I made this list. Played Wingspan the night before I made this list and just totally forgot it. That would be like on my list.
Well, it's good. Between the two of us, we'll get things covered. Yeah. Okay.
All right. My number 7, and I think some people might really disagree with me on this because I've heard complaints, is Disney's Villainous. Again, thinking of... what was that?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. Oh, that's my baby monitor. Ha, 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 everyone.
How do you not know?
It's just relinking. Anyway, Disney's Villainous. for the molds of the your characters. I think that was such a neat concept, such a neat way for them to go with it. They're kind of like these abstracted representations of your characters, like, you know, I don't know, someone's a hat, Prince John, I think, is like a hat, and Ursula's this, like, blob with tentacles or arms coming out. It's like, they're all these abstracted things. They're, I don't even know what the material is that they are. It's some plasticky type thing. I mean, they're pretty sturdy. My daughter loves playing with them, which is a plus. I've heard people complain about it, the fact that they're not actual minis or that they're not meeples or whatever. I love it. I think it's such a neat, different thing for them to do. Again, talking about card textures, the card texture is pretty good as well on some of the cards in Vilnius, but I love the minis that you get with them.
My number 10987 is a game I actually played today. Mm-hmm. And that is Dinosaur Island. Dinosaur Island. So, pink dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, those nice big chunky dice. Mm-hmm. They're amber, which is so brilliant. I think that was a great design decision. And yeah, those two things make me very happy. That's it.
Yeah, fair enough. That was definitely on my short list.
The coins are pretty great too. They're like huge and yeah, colorful, but they're only one-sided. So you don't know what's a one and what's a five and a 10 unless you have them separated, which is really irritating because it's like you spent all that time designing them and, you know, the cost, and you didn't think that maybe, you know, they should be unique on both sides.
Yeah. Yep. Fair enough.
But yeah, still great. Great bits. Fun to look at. Dinosaur Island.
Cool. My number six is, again, thinking of one thing in a game for the most part. Dice Forge. And if we classify dice as bits, which I'm assuming we are, even though I feel like we could easily, like you mentioned, do a top 10 favorite dice or top 10 best dice very easily. Dice Forge is like is that dice building game. So you're putting in slivers on each side of your die as you go through the game, and they're all stored really nicely in an insert. It's just, yeah, I love it. I love the fact that that's a thing. So that's why Dice Forge is here, because I think they're great.
Yeah, that was on my list. It got removed, but it was a hard removal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. All right, my next pick is Medina.
Forgot about Medina too.
Yeah, yeah, it's so great. It's a bunch of wood, big chunky wood bits. Apparently, this is like all I care about: big chunky wood bits and big dice. But this is really the epitome of that. For that, you know, it's not a hobby game. You're building up a city. At the end of the game, you have this like gorgeous little city in front of you with a little town square and a fountain and walls and buildings and roofs. And oh, I just love the way it looks at the end. And it's really fun to just play with, like, you feel like almost like you're playing with blocks, like as a kid, you know? Yeah. Great bits. I know some people complain about the, brown and purple. They're very similar, but, whatever. Medina, good bits.
Yeah, they're really nice. I totally forgot about that game. I've owned that game twice and just forgot about it. All right, my number five is, you mentioned the deluxe edition of this game, which is super nice, but this is the regular edition, and that's Takenoko. So the bamboo shoots, I love. They're so cool in this game, as well as obviously the pandas. The pandas are huge. This game, honestly, probably the reason it's a top five game in terms of bits for me. I think it's the first modern hobby game that I was aware of, that I saw and looked at components, and I was like, what? There's more than a thimble in a race car here? Look how cool these are. You know, I saw this game probably, other than Dominion, it was one of the first hobby games that I played and interacted with. So definitely has a solid place in my heart. But I still think it's got great bits for what's essentially a really gateway game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Good pick.
Yeah.
My next one is Tikal. And this is the, is it Super Meeple version? Am I getting that correct?
Yeah.
Where the temples are actually like 3D bits that you stack, and they're painted, and the tents are, you know, pretty standard, and the meeples are too, but you know, they're nice. But yeah, just building up those pyramids is just so very nice, and I appreciate it. I really want to try the other ones in their line. Like, I think they did Mexica as well, which also looks stunning. I know the games are rather mean, so I haven't tried it, but I think just for the bits, I'm going to have to try Mexica. But yeah, that's my number something. Five.
All right. Number four, because I can't resist foreshadowing, is the Manhattan Project Energy Empire. So we mentioned this before. Man, it's just those, all the bits in the game really correspond nicely with what they are, but those oil barrels are so freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so just clangy and heavy, and they just feel so good in your hands. I love them. I love them. I love them. I love them. That's it. Manhattan Project game. Everything about that game in terms of the components is awesome, but that's my favorite, is the thingies.
Yeah, they're great. And the is it iron in the game, but it's like shiny.
Yeah,
that was on my list. I don't know why I didn't make it. I think if I was to redo this list, it probably would. But I did think about it. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my number four is Bunny Kingdom.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the bits in this game. Love, you're putting, there's like tons of little bunnies. Those are your player pieces in fun colors. There's pink. That's really what matters for me. And you get little cities, and you get to put your bunnies in the cities, and the board looks insanely busy, but also insanely cute at the end of it. And, I thought about putting, spoiler alert, Black Angel on here, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. But there's something about, like, not only having good bits, but actually, like, having the bits interact with each other. So, in Black Angel, you have robots that go into little ships. And here, you have, like, bunnies going into these little towers. And, yes, it's basically a toy. Apparently, that gets me excited.
Yeah.
But I do really like that. It's just kind of cool. And, you know, not a ton of games do it. So, that's my number four, Bunny Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. That's a good choice. So my number three is, speaking of a lot of wood, is Five Tribes. Five Tribes, just, it's older at this point, but there's so much wood in there. And, you know, you have all the meeples, you have the camels, you have the trees, and the other thing. Not the castles, but you know what I mean.
The palaces.
The palaces. There you go. Yeah. The palaces. Even the turn order markers. You know, it's very very understated, because they're just like almost like pawns, but it's so understated that they're nice. All different. You have all your different colors. There's just so much wood in there, and it holds up. Like, that game has been played a ton, and everything still looks good. I went through it the other day just to make sure, because I've had that game for so long and played it so much, and everything still looks great in it. So that's Five Tribes, my number three.
Good pick, good pick. My next one is a little bit cliche and a little bit Cult of the New, but I had to pick it anyway, and that's Tapestry.
Yeah.
So obviously this game has incredible bits. It's got a bunch of 3D buildings that are painted. It's got that, I talked about Wingspan, how it has the a texture to it on the rule book. Tapestry has this as well, and it also has it on the player boards, and something about it just feels so nice and like just a quality. The other cool thing that it just makes me smile is that, so the player boards have a track along the bottom, and you have custom bits to represent resources. Mm-hmm. And so as you gain and lose resources, you're moving these bits up and down this track. And because the player boards are textured, there's actually each of the bits has one side has a little bit of texture, so that as you move it up and down, it actually makes a sound. So for people who like that feeling, or, you know, not even the feeling, but they like that, like, sensory affirmation, I guess, like you're doing something, you know, it's great for them. But then every bit also has a smooth side. So that if you don't like hearing every time you get a resource or lose a resource, you don't have to.
That's fair.
And yeah, and then each player also has like a ton of mini buildings as well. I mean, it's just like, it's an overproduced game, but it's lovely. There's like some great attention to detail. And that, I'm sorry, that resource tracking, like that is just, to me, that's just like a whole nother level.
That's so, super cool.
There you go, Tapestry number three.
Nice. All right, my number two is Rising Sun. I have the Kickstarter, but I'm going to just talk about the retail. I know they're definitely, the Kickstarter edition is a lot nicer, but I love the minis to death in Rising Sun. I figure I had, initially my first draft of this list had 4 Seamon games, and I was like, okay, I'm going to narrow them down to 1, and it was Rising Sun. And I was just like, yeah, the minis and Rising Sun are my favorites of all the Seamon games. It's replaced Blood Rage, I think, in terms of just my favorites. And again, if I painted, I would paint the crap out of these. I love them. Rising Sun is my number two.
Nice. Now I'm very curious about your number one. My number two is Through the Desert. And this is, I haven't played the new version. This is the old, I'm trying to think of who it was. I want to say Ravensburger, but I don't think that's right.
No.
Fantasy Flight, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, super weird. So this game has a number of camels in pastel colors that you use to put out on a board, a desert board made of hexes, to build caravans. You have like long lines of colors, and then each player has, I don't know if they're nomads or what they're representing, but anyways, you have dudes that sit on top of the camels so that, you know which caravan is yours, which is, again, that whole concept of having bits interact with each other. So, you know, these guys sit on top of the camels. And then there's also 3D trees, palm trees. And again, this was, I don't know when this was published, but this was definitely an older game. And it wasn't Days of Wonder game, so that's a pretty big deal. Let's see, 1998.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. Cool. But yeah, great, 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 great bits. So fun to play with. Yep, that's my number two.
All right.
Desert.
Any guesses? Well, I guess you know, because you said you're curious about my guesses for my number one.
The Climbers?
No. No. That's horrible. That paint chips off so fast.
Yeah, that's true. That does. No, I don't
have any. The board club, because I don't want anyone to get poisoned. Alright, so this is a somewhat, I don't want to say controversial, because really there's no controversy. I debated whether this should make the list or not, but the reason I put it on, because while it wasn't a, you only have one way to get it, which is why I debated whether I should put it on the list, but if you could go to that way, it's not like again, like a bunch of the Seamon exclusives or Kickstarters where it was really hard, where you had to pay a lot to get it. You could just get it, you know? So yeah, that is Mechs versus Minions.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In the end, I felt like there was no way I could not put this game on, because I mean, you have 100+ minis in there. The main characters are gorgeous and detailed and come pre-painted, which is awesome. So all your main characters, they're the cogs, the gears, the first player thing. There are a few other things, the quality of the cards, the everything about, you know, I think we've talked about it on the show. I mean, no other company can do what Riot Games did, because no other company, no board game company is worth and has the amount of money and can, basically this was used as a marketing vehicle, I would guess, for the video game, for League of Legends. So it's like, no one can actually do what they did. But it's still a product that you could get, and you could still get now. I think you could still order it. So in the end, this had to be my number one. Like, there was no, it was just, do I put it on the list or not? And I felt like I had to.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. So it's my number one. Number one bits.
Yeah, I was going to put that one on too, and it probably would have been up there too. But I haven't really played it enough to justify having it on my list. So my number one is one that's already been mentioned.
That I've mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Zulkin?
No, good guess though. Takinoko.
Okay.
Yep, that's my number one. Great, great, great bits. Oh, they interact with each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Building up the bamboo. Yeah. Sorry?
No, I said you stack them.
Yep, you stack them and they're pretty and they've got great colors and there's minis and they're painted and it's such a cute little game. And, you know, was one of those ones early on in the hobby that kind of like brain explode, like, wow, this is incredible, you know, this level of production and whatnot. So there's some nostalgia there as well, but I just think it's such a good production. Yeah, and just a sweet little package. So that's my number one.
Just like me.
So that's my number one.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'd love to hear your bitsers out there. I'd love to hear your favorite bits components.
Definitely. Yes,
top,
me as well.
Your top 10, 5, 3, or 1, however many you want to share with us on our various social medias platforms or email or however you want.
Or tell us how we're wrong. There's been a few times where I've done these and some bitsers have messaged me and been like, what about this? I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, forgot about that game. Or I forgot about that bit.
I am very surprised. I had this on my short list, but I'm very surprised you didn't have any of the Century games, knowing your affinity for the cups and whatnot.
Yeah, I did think about the cups. I did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were quite a few that... Oh, one of the ones that I think my number 11 was Quantum. Have you ever played Quantum?
Mm-mm.
It's an abstract... I wish I hadn't sold my copy, actually. It's an abstract... puzzle basically, but you're in space and you're using these massive translucent dice.
Okay.
As your
chip. I can picture the cover. I'm looking it up now. Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh, loved those dice. So good.
Yeah, I had like a real hard time with both Cerebria, even though I own it.
Oh yeah.
And Anachrony. Not playing that because again, the reason I didn't have Anachrony on there is. The coolest thing about Nacria is the exosuits where you carry the workers in, but that's an extra that you have to buy. So that's kind of the reason it wasn't on there, but Cerebria is so gorgeous and the components are so awesome in it. But I just, it just missed.
So. I was going to put Terraforming Mars as a joke.
Really? Yeah. As a jerk.
As a joke.
Jerk.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
So all this is our, that was a spotlight sound, by the way. Not a dying cow.
Yeah.
But a spotlight.
Yeah, which this is our bit where we talk about the BGG thread and we discuss the OP's original post, and we discuss what some people said, and then we give our thoughts, because I'm pretty sure both of us never actually post on BGG. So, hey, this is like us posting on BGG. It's us giving back to the community.
That's right. That's what this is. Not us taking from the community.
No, giving back.
Yeah.
And this particular thread is best/worst. What boring real-life activities would make interesting board game themes?
So
I have thought about this a lot.
I forgot about it. I wish I thought about it more, actually. So Joey Kugler, the original poster, said the best he thought would be waiting in line, but the trick is the line never moves, which is quite realistic.
Yep.
So you're just trying to outlast everyone else in line by coming up with things to pass the time and just generally making sure that you're the one with the least going on in your fictional character's life so you don't have to leave. Or it could be a system a la Street Masters where you wait in line in different locations and there are different challenges to face in each line. And then the other one he said was sleeping. I would totally play a game where you're trying to stay asleep or make sure you hit the right circadian rhythms, or even like a one versus all game where one player is an insomniac trying to wake everyone else up. Thought that was pretty cool. Worst, of course, doing your taxes, doing work with slow internet. Oh my God, yes. That one thing where you're on the interstate and there are only two lanes and there's a semi in both lanes and it seems like they're competing at who can drive slowest.
I will say the waiting in line is one that I thought would make an awesome game. I had thought about that. My idea has always been that it's like you're trying to most effectively pass your time, and it's just a bunch of different mini games. So it's like, you get like a quick set collection game and a quick race game, and it's just like a whole bunch of different genres in there, but they're like super quick. So that's my brilliant idea for a waiting in line game.
Nice.
Klaus Gunther Herzog, how about doing laundry at a laundromat? Another one I thought about. Possible challenging events: not mixing whites and colors simply, not running out of the machine, not running out of quarters when the change machine gets jammed, not putting your clothes in a machine with a disturbing but unidentifiable odor, avoiding being tempted by the vending machine, avoiding panhandlers, avoiding having your stuff stolen when your back is turned, and assorted positive and negative interactions of varying intensity with other laundries. Yeah.
I think Klaus has done too much laundry.
Yeah.
At the laundromat.
Yeah.
It sounds like he needs a washer and dryer for Christmas, is what I'm hearing. All right. Blake Bush, probably done, but a game about procrastination. Try to not complete whatever the objectives are or take as long as possible.
You lose if you complete your objectives. That sounds like my type of game.
It kind of reminds me of Last Will, where it's like you're trying to, you know, spend all your money. Yeah, I thought that was fun.
April W., changing a baby's diaper.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of that. This one I thought was actually a pretty good idea. Caroline Black, going to the gym. It would be a worker placement game. The different machines at the gym would work different muscle groups. The currency of the game would be sweat. But if you pushed too hard, you would strain a ligament or tear a muscle.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a game like that, actually.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Bolton, I take that game, dealing with an annoying neighbor. That'd be fun, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Comes with voodoo dolls, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shotgun games. Playing board games with other people, the board game. It's about playing a board game with others, and each person gets a character card at random. Always on the phone guy, the Cheetos guy, dude who hasn't showered but no one wants to say anything about my hygiene guy, etc. And you get points by completing your secret objective. cute.
Pete, avoiding work at work, Pete dodges. Yeah.
We can't, this segment, this bit, is never complete without a Pete.
No, a Pete appearance. Yeah. I should send him a message one day and be like,
"We really should."
Turn on our show so much. I think I will.
Ulit N says, watching paint dry. A worker placement game where you have to maximize the allotted time to watch as many combinations drying paint as possible. Set collection, resource management.
Brilliant. And this is the best one. The Grim Squeaker. Farming. Oh, wait.
The first time my mom saw Agricola, she's like, I don't get it. Like, why? She's a farmer. She's like, why would you want to play a game about that? That's not fun.
Yeah.
We have a few we thought of. So picking a board game to play, wherein being decisive gives you extra points.
Gosh, lose all the time.
It's important.
Yeah. Tidying up your child's toys for the 15th time today, wherein giving up and throwing everything in a large bag to shove in the closet gives you extra points. Yeah, very nice.
Transforming into a hipster, wherein the length of your beard and the thickness of your glass rims are the only things that matter.
Whoa, you forgot the age of your bicycle.
Oh, sorry.
and to also your scarf collection.
Can't forget the scarf.
And the amount of rare teas that you've had to consume.
And the number of craft beers that you
can use. This is true. Yeah. I have one that I forgot to put on here. You had the cleaning up after your child one you put on here. I was like, that's definitely one. Buddy stole my waiting in line one. A big one for me would be going to the airport, but not getting on a plane. It's like role player, where, you know, role player, you complete you make your character, but you don't actually do the role playing. This would be like you go as far as your gate, but it's everything else. It's like going through security, and it's like check in, and like going to get a snack, and waiting in line for the bathroom.
Ugh.
Right, and then having to deal with passengers. So you get, and it would be a card management game where you use your cards to like trip a passenger without them seeing, and like sneak in front of someone in the line, and you have to be really like down and dirty. That'd be my biggie.
That one did come up a few times in the thread, as did traffic jams. The last one I have is starting a podcast wherein making odd sound effects and knowing baseball trivia scores you all the points.
Yeah, baseball.
Yeah. I was going to say kapow, but that's not really.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe if it's in a comic book, I'm sure it's a comic book.
Yeah. Baseball comic books.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
No. And then you get the bubble gum, right?
The bubble gum. The ancient old bubble gum. Wonder if baseball cards still come with bubble gum.
I don't know.
You can still buy Big League Chew. Do you know what Big League Chew is?
I've heard of it.
I was at a can. I didn't realize that you could still buy it. I was at a candy store in Banff, which is a town, a resort mountain town near where we live. And we were at a candy store, and they sold Big League Chew. And it's this like shredded gum that they used to sell to kids, because kids who play baseball were like, oh, my favorite player chews tobacco. So the reason that they make this product of gum is so you could like chew it. Like it's chewy tobacco. It's like stringy, like chewy tobacco. And I was like, I'm shocked that they still sell that. Okay, that's a tangent.
No, it's good. It's good. Yeah. That made me actually thinking of sports, which is where my head likes to go.
Obviously.
I think they've tried before, but I still think like the whole management of a team and drafting and all that stuff would be a good game. Like Baseball Highlights 2045 kind of does that, but you still have to play the game.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I remember, like, I'm sure people might remember, is when I went to Origins, I guess in 2018, I think we talked about it on the show, maybe, there's a game I played there called like Lords of Baseball, and that game did it so well. They were supposed to come out to Kickstarter, but they obviously haven't. I can't remember. I did a sign up for it because I had to. I was super excited, and that did it really well, because you were like managing your entire organizations, and they kind of sped through the whole playing of the games, which you still did, but that was the fastest part. It was more like concessions and signing players and training.
A lot there.
I think that like that makes for such a good resource management game, right? I'm shocked. Hopefully if someone smart will come up with one.
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but I think we, like, I'm going to say we, as in, like, the all of the board game industry, relies too heavily on the same themes.
Farming.
Yeah, and, you know, buildings and resources that are all the same. I don't know, I just feel like there's just so much potential, and,
I mean, the reality is, if you're trading various farming goods, or, you know, harvesting farming goods, you can easily apply that to, I'm sure, you know, various concessions and you know what I mean, for other themes, like, right?
Yeah, well, and most of the themes are pasted on anyways. Yeah, exactly. but still, like, if they're just pasted on and they don't really matter, just do something different.
Paste other stuff. I agree.
Come on. Yeah, there's another one, actually, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, like, a pharmacy would be kind of fun if you had, like, super sketchy customers who are like, yeah, this is for my grandma. She needs...
Give me.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Wow. Cool. Well, before we close out the show, we want to say thanks again to our amazing listeners. That's you. And our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye. Peace out.